Good morning.
Good morning.
We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning to you.
This is WPTF Radio, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm Reese Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament basketball is on the air. This is Wally Ausley.
This is Bill Jackson speaking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome now to Sportsline. Gary Dornberg with you.
I'm Tony Rixby, WPTF News.
Hello, this is Charles Kuralt, CBS News, on WPTF in Raleigh.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Carolina Newsmakers. I'm Don Curtis.
Hello, friends. This is Bill Friday, WPTF in Raleigh.
I'm Rufus Anderson on the Weekend Gardener.
Now, here is your moderator, Tom Kemp.
Thanks for watching this week's NC-SPAN.
Now, here is Hank Kaiser.
Hi-yo. Well, that's good.
This is Art Devine.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC Newsroom in New York.
The Monitor edition of News of the World.
Debnam views the news. And now, here is Mr. Debnam.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yours truly, Sam Beard,
and Jim Reed,
and Carl Gertz.
Thank you, Sam, and greetings to all of our listeners.
This is Harriet Presley, WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wayne Edda is standing by now with a check of the latest news.
WPTF News presents Regional Report, a digest of late happenings throughout the area.
This is Bill Ellis.
This is Jimmy Katz. The Nocturne we send as our best.
This is Bill Hope.
This is Warren Barfield with Kingdom Scott at the organ and a program of familiar carols.
Good morning, this is Phil Franklin.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
And this is J.C. Knowles with the North Carolina Collection on WPTF.
I'm Mike Blackman, WPTF News.
Good evening, I'm David Sherrill.
This is Robert Hager, WPTF News.
This is Bob Farrington.
Good morning, everybody. Charlie Gaddy here with Ask Your Neighbor.
Mario Dill here.
Fess Parker, our guest this morning here at News Talk 680.
Well, Jack Boston, that was a great introduction.
Hey, everyone, great to have you with us. This is North Carolina's Morning News. I'm Brian Freeman on WPTF.
Hello, I'm your friend Bart Rittner.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Bob Butler Show, and this is Ned Champion reporting.
And here is Carl Venters. WPTF is the voice that shares with its neighbors what it's like to be living the life of Raleigh.
This is Donna Mason on 680 WPTF.
And I'm Dick Stork in the WPTF Record Vault. Good morning to you.
Tom Kearney here.
Johnny Hood on the Southern Farm Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. I'm Hap Hansen.
I'm Marlon Bowling reporting.
This is Charles Osgood wishing Mike Raley and Ann Clapp congratulations on the anniversary of WPTF's Weekend Gardener program.
I'm Mike Riley, the Weekend Gardener. Welcome in, everybody.
I'm Ann Clapp.
And this is a Tar Heel Gardener saying, keep them growing.
Now, we're back on WPTF.
Put it on Shirley.
We're talking about getting to, we can walk there. Are you up? No, you don't care about walking over there. But we could, it's really not that far. To the Habitat Restore on North Raleigh Boulevard, where we'll be doing the Weekend Gardener next week. And Nelsa Cox will be with her. I guess I better let Nelsa, because I just found out about this. I need to let Nelsa know where we're going to be next week. So it'll be Nelsa and Rufus and me at the Habitat Restore on North Raleigh Boulevard with WPTF Weekend Gardener. And the week after that, we'll be at Logan's new location at the State Farmers Market. And Brother Billy, sorry to leave you. Nelsa's listening. I hear you, buddy. Thanks, Nelsa. I don't have to send you a text now, but good hearing from you. Billy's with us. And sorry you had to wait so long, Billy, but everything going all right out there?
Everything's going good out here. Temperature's nice. It's still a little foggy.
Yeah, it sure was. It sure was foggy. A lot of humidity in the air. I thought it felt a little more humid yesterday than I was expecting it, and it was certainly cooler. Cold air damming is what the meteorologists call that. And it's not going to be quite as warm today as they were expecting. We were expecting to go over 80 today, but I think it's going to be more in the mid to upper 70s. Depending, it's probably be in the 50s in Roxborough. They're way up on that hill.
Yeah, let's go up there and get lost somewhere.
Let's go up to Prison County and get lost. We eat lunch at a Flat River Cafe and then go get lost. That's what Rufus and I usually do.
Correct. You ever been up there, Billy, the Flat Brother?
Flat Rock Cafe?
I don't believe so.
That's good eating, man.
Yeah.
That is really good eating. They got a restaurant, and then you can walk through the door, and there's a grocery store right there. They got it all.
So, some people
in,
don't.
What is it? Not Hurricane Mills.
Some people don't realize there are places in North Carolina where GPS still don't work.
No.
that area is so rural in Person County, that part of Person County, that Shirley lost the signal. Rufus doesn't believe me. He just didn't think I knew where I was going. And Shirley sent us to a dead end at one point. We went to a dead end. But we finally got out of there. But Rufus was not in a great frame of mind because he was missing his nap. I got him home a little too late. So.
And Gerald yawns.
See, I was talking to him a lot, so he couldn't nod off in the car.
Well, you needed a co-pilot, somebody to help with directions.
Well, we thought we had Shirley, but she gave up on us. But that sure is some of the prettiest country in the state up there. I just love it. So we had a nice time. Billy, what do you got under the farmer's sheds this morning? Got some vegetables, and you got some plants, too.
We've got plants. We've got craft vendors, vegetables, cookies, and a couple different things to eat. And I know we got the German baker was here today, and the cookie people are here. And
yeah, is the cookie tent up out there on the end?
No, the big tent's not up yet. We're going to try to get that up this coming week.
All right.
Yeah, because there'll be a lot of vendors under that.
Yeah, because next weekend's our craft fair, so this place will be packed out next weekend with vendors and all types of goodies.
Righto.
And as soon as that goes, we get through the craft fair, then we'll probably be full of plant vendors.
Absolutely.
Right after that, we have some now. Yeah, you know, the weather's been up and down, but a lot of warm days have been through in there, so we do have some plant vendors already.
Got a lot of camellias out there, Billy?
We do have some. As the old fellow said, we got ample supply of a lot of stuff.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Charlie Edwards used to say that.
Yes, sir. But we have our greens and, you know, carrots and sweet potatoes.
What about kale?
You have a fixation,
sure,
Rufus, on this kale thing.
He loves kale. I don't.
Who does? Rufus?
Hey, Rufus does.
I think
he's always talking about it.
I think he eats it to the side.
Okay.
Without telling people. He eats it, puts a little vinegar on it. And
that's like me sneaking.
Some croutons.
Sneaky little Miracle Whip once in a while.
On a tomato sandwich?
Well, I said just once in a while.
What would you say about that, Billy? A little Miracle Whip, and you'd rather have some mayonnaise, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think I would stick with the mayonnaise.
Yeah, a little tang, you've got to have that
Duke's.
Yeah.
Well, of course it's Duke, but I have been known to revert to my childhood, Billy, when Mama got Miracle Whip because it was cheaper than mayonnaise.
Yeah. It was sweeter too.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah, sweeter.
Yeah. But that's fine if you want that. What else do you have? Still have some greens other than kale?
We have greens, yeah. Yeah, we got collards. And a little this, a little that in the greens. And, I'm expecting next couple of weeks, you know, we should start getting some newer, the spring varieties should start coming in as warm as it's been, hopefully.
What about asparagus?
I haven't seen any yet. I'm not for sure.
Is that little bit later than we've had in the past few years?
Yeah, well, the last few years we had such a mild winter, the plants didn't know what month it was.
Right.
Yeah, that's the truth.
I'm about confused myself. I still think it's 1984. But.
Yeah, I stay confused. So, asparagus, a little asparagus would be nice. That's pretty good eating. So we look forward to that. Some fresh vegetables. Certainly have the greens, and we'll have some new potatoes and all kinds of stuff coming in there. But you got the sweet potatoes now.
We got sweet potatoes. We got tunnel grown strawberries and apples. You know, we still have a lot of apples. I know that's one of Rufus's favorites.
Oh yeah, from up there in Taylorsville. By the way, Billy, did you hear us talk about the 112-year-old lady that was on the show a couple weeks ago from Durham, who said that her longevity was attributable to sweet potatoes and collard greens?
Yeah. That's right. She said she had some on the stove at that moment, and she was going to go home and enjoy some for lunch.
Sweet potatoes is absolutely a health food.
Oh, yeah. Well, greens are, too. Of course, you got to put a little fat meat in there, but that's all right. What did Socrates say? Everything in moderation.
So. Well, and then another fellow said moderation in excess.
That was it. That was Socrates' second cousin.
Yeah.
That said that. So up in the market shops, it's just a plethora of interesting products up there with the 3-2-1 coffee at one end, and then you got the fresh seafood, and then you got way on down there, you got the fresh baked products from Nancy Joe's, and then the bakery, then the Market Bakery. I'll tell you.
Apple Jacks.
Cinnamon bread.
They keep that building smelling good.
They do.
Don't leave out the Market,
Market
Deli.
Grill, yeah. And that's on the other side.
The grill, yeah, yes, sir.
Opposite from...
I ate at the seafood restaurant last night.
Did you bring some home with you? Or did you eat it all?
I eat like a hog.
Oh, you certainly did.
Well, you have to eat like a hog if you're going to finish up, because they give you plenty there, Kemp does. And
what did you have, Gerald?
I ate flounder last night, and Henry ate about a half a plate of shrimp, and I know how many shrimp's on a plate. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, he's got a great story going on.
He laid down on the bench, you know, the picnic table. When he got through, he'd eat some many.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we got 1 minute to break, Billy.
All right.
But, I mean, we can come back. At some point. So you got the Farmer's Market Restaurant, you got Logan starting up next week.
And they are open.
Or in 2 weeks.
Logan's open already.
Yeah, they're open. They've got a soft opening that's going on right now. We'll make opening. The loud opening will be in 2 weeks when we're out there. We'll be real loud and boisterous. Police might have to come by. So
y'all kind of rowdy.
Yeah, I know. Well, Rufus is, and we'll just have a good time. And of course, Super Sod. They've got everybody's thinking about putting out some fescue sod, or thinking about the later on putting out. Well, you could put out some warm season grass in sod right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So they're ready for you. All those folks are ready for you at the State Farmers Market, and we always love talking to you, Billy, and Miss Monica, and Craft Fair next week. So,
and Gerald will be there with your plants, too.
Gerald will be there next week, too. So yeah.
You can help me get set up Thursday, Billy.
As long as I don't have to tote those glass bottles.
No, I'm selling plants. We won't be messing with
you get a little
bottles.
Shaky when you're carrying a bunch of bottles, or what, Billy?
Well, Gerald scares me because I know how much time he's spending.
Oh, you don't want to drop any, yeah.
No, yeah.
Well, that's right. Well, you have a wonderful day, my friend.
Y'all too. Y'all come see us.
We shall in 2 weeks for that real loud opening at Logan's.
Yeah.
All right. Take it easy, buddy. Bye.
All righty.
Let's go to Judy. Oh, okay. We can't go to Judy yet. We got to read something. Just 1 minute here, Judy. Like so many of you, when the weather starts warming up, I Must Garden is there for you. It's exciting to see plants just pushing through the soil and flowers beginning to bloom, but nothing ruins that joy faster than moles and voles. Moles can turn your lawn into an obstacle course with their unsightly mounds and raised tunnels, and voles can kill plants by gnawing on the bark of trees and shrubs and eating the roots of plants, just like they did to Rufus's lavender. What did they eat up, Rufus, at your place? What did you just have to get rid of?
Rosemary.
Rosemary herb. Yeah. I mean, they love those tender roots. So say goodbye to these pesky intruders with iMust Garden Mole and Vole Repellent. iMust Garden's Mole and Vole Repellent is made from natural ingredients and blended with botanical oils, ensuring a safe and eco-friendly solution. The unique blend of natural ingredients coats the food source of moles and voles, chasing them away from the treated areas. And it contains no harsh chemicals, just pure, effective protection. And you can buy iMust Garden repellents at local garden centers and hardware stores throughout the Triangle, like Durham locations of Triangle Ace Hardware in the Woodcroft area and Highway 54 and Westlake Ace Hardware stores, too. Protect your garden today with iMust Garden repellents. People, pet, and eco-friendly. iMust Garden, your ultimate defense against garden pests. Okay, now at here on the Weekend Gardener at 10:25, we can go to Judy. Hey, Judy, how can we help you with trimming?
It's about liriope. And I noticed that some people have little, that you can see the trim their liriope, and I did not do mine. I wondered if it's too late or too early, or what should I do? Anything?
Well, if you can, I did mine earlier this week, and I just got down and checked to see if I saw any new growth. If you see any new growth peeping through, then you probably, you might be able to, however you trim it, you'd need to trim above that new growth because you don't want to disturb the new growth because it will look, you know, it had brown tips and stuff the rest of the season. So that's the determination. We've had a colder winter, and so it's coming up a little, the new growth is coming up a little later. Okay. Am I correct, Gerald?
Yes.
And so
it won't hurt to get down there and double check it and then cut off the nasty looking.
Yeah, I used a weed eater to do that. I use my steel weed battery pack.
Cut it with push mowers with a bagger on it before.
Yeah, I have used a mower too, but just make sure that new growth is not there.
Well, I have to. Mine's right by the foundation of the garage, so I have to get down on my knees and hand cut them. So, but I don't mind doing that.
No, as long as you can get back up.
Oh yeah.
If you can get one of those little chair things like I have that's got handles on it, and you get down your knees on it.
But you got to have upper body strength then.
Yeah, Judy, and it works very nicely.
Yeah, you need something with a spring on it.
Right.
Oh,
thank
man.
You. It was too late or too early or what?
No, I think it might. You know, last year it would probably have been too late, but this year it's okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Steve is with us. Hey, Steve.
Hey. How y'all doing?
We're fine. I hope you're well, my friend.
You're having a good time.
Yeah, we're having a great time. Always do.
We were, in reference to your GPS thing, we were in Huntington, West Virginia, and they have a glass museum there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it is well worth going to. But going back to our hotel, we just pushed the hotel, the location of the hotel, and hit go. And the next thing I knew, I heard banjo music in the background. Mm-hmm. We were on a single-lane dirt road going through mountain rural West Virginia.
Oh, wow. Wow, you were off the beaten path.
Yeah,
weren't
it
you?
Was. They was taking us on. We were on an adventure. That was for sure.
I don't know which.
Sometimes the GPS does take you in some wonderful places.
Yeah.
I was hoping to be out there in the yard working and calling you from there, but it's too icky.
Yeah, it is kind of icky out there this morning.
Yeah, the air is heavy and cold.
I know. That cold air damming is what they're calling
it. Yeah, it's still sprinkling, too.
Oh, no kidding. Oh.
Yep, it was sprinkling in Garner anyway.
How about that? Well, we're supposed to get a little warmer today. Maybe this afternoon you can do something.
Upper 70s. Our next daily meeting is on April the 13th. At Ralston Arboretum, from 2 to 4, and we're going to have Leslie Pratt, landscape photographer.
Oh wow! How about that? That'll be interesting.
Landscape pictures.
You can learn to take award-winning National Geographic photos of your daylilies.
Well, if not anything else, she'd have a good slideshow.
Yeah, that'll be fun. So that's April 13th at Ralston Arboretum.
Right, and you missed a really good one last time. We had...
Steve, hold on a second. We'll be back and finish this out.
I just wanted to get that meeting.
Okay. Call us. Hope you're feeling good, my friend. We'll see you later. We're back on WPTF at the Weekend Gardener. We have less than a half hour left in the program. It's hard to believe. And Rufus hasn't finished all of it. How many nabs you have left, Rufus?
Well, I'm got one that's all crumbled, so I'm going to let it go.
Yeah, you don't want to get into this crumble. You get into a choking fit again.
It got a little bit in my wrong place.
Yeah, and you're about to run out of Diet Dr. Pepper, so you got to have
plenty
you
of liquid.
Have liquid with crumbly nabs. So I guess you have to go leave those be. So, Gerald, I'm trying to think of what we haven't talked about this morning. A lot of people are wanting to prune because they're dead limbs. You can take care of those, but you got to really be careful.
Yeah.
Just like with the liriope, you don't want to get the new growth, and you don't, for a lot of the spring blooming things,
you don't want
to cut those off.
Because lots of times the bud is formed before you can visibly see it.
Right. And
that's, you've wiped your flowers off.
Well, a lot of them, it's happened by June. And if you have encore azaleas, I usually do spring rather than fall with that. But you gotta wait until they bloom. And Rufus, you concur with that?
Well, on your hydrangeas, let them alone unless you're cutting off a totally dead stalk. Because they, like Gerald said, they've got little tiny buds forming down there, and you just cut your flowers off.
And there's so many of them there that there are, you look around and what has become really fashionable. There's a house that we pass by every time we go to church that has the sun-loving type, I guess, PG hydrangeas like Limelight out in the full sun, and they get pretty big.
Oh, yeah. They went from Limelight was supposed to be 4 foot tall. Well, let it get 10 or 12.
Yeah.
Then they came out with Little Limelight, they're supposed to get 4 foot tall, and let it get about 6. Now they've got Bobo, which is baby Limelight, and it may actually stay 4 foot under.
Huh. Well, that's a really pretty plant, and I think they're really pretty long after they bloom. I think they're pretty in the winter.
What I like about them, with the blooms on them, is that they bloom on the new wood. So if it got a shape or tall or big, you whack the mess out of them, you're still gonna bloom like the dickens the next year.
Yep, you can whack it any way you want to.
Endless Summer. There are a lot of varieties of that series. And that's an interesting plant, that long blooming plant, hydrangea.
and blooms on new and old wood.
Yeah.
So that's another one you can get into and whack, and you don't eliminate all of next year's blooms.
Mm-hmm.
The old original mop heads bloomed on old wood, and that's why you had to be very careful of how you prune those.
And they like a little more of a filtered light. They don't like that hot. No. They like morning sun, but not the
hot afternoon
sun. Around North Carolina. So did your mama have any... Did y'all have any hydrangeas, the old mop head hydrangeas up at your house?
Old fashioned. In every family cemetery in Watauga County in the mountains, you'll find a hydrangea.
Huh.
In the corner of the graveyard.
Well, I have
hydrangea PG.
You used to see hydrangeas, old mop heads planted as foundation plants. Mm-hmm. I never understood that because they get a little wicked looking during the winter. All stringy with no leaves, and I would not recommend planting deciduous. Now, you can if you have kind of a mixed border of shrubs and things, depending, because there's something
behind it and plant the smaller one in front of it.
Right, because hydrangeas have interesting stems. They do really have year-round interest, but I don't think I'd if that's all you got, that's all you got, but... That doesn't look pretty to me. So, but there are so many different varieties of hydrangeas, and people have taken advantage of that. I mean, it's not like they're ignoring them, but do be careful with your pruning for anything that blooms in the spring, and don't things like gardenias, don't prune them too late because you'll have new growth when it gets cold, and that'll.
And
hit that.
And something I thought of the other, I think it's weekend before last, I spoke at the Princeton Manor Home, a garden club in Knightdale, and this is where my daughter lives. And the lady whose home was hosting it, I got there early to set up. And I looked out. She had a nice screened-in porch, and she had a brain damage to your blooms in the winter, smells good. Hard to grow. Daphne. She had a winter Daphne in a pot in full bloom. I mean, just gorgeous on her screened-in porch. And I said, wow, that looks great. She said, I've had it 2 years. I said, don't change. Whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Whatever you're doing, keep on doing it, how you're watering it, where you've got it located, and all that, because it looks fabulous.
How long had she had it?
She's had it 2 years, I think.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I believe she told me.
It hasn't gotten persnickety yet. It ain't gotten crotchety and persnickety.
Yeah, don't mess with it.
But sometimes you outsmart yourself thinking, if the plant looks healthy and it's doing what you want it to do, don't get, you know, sometimes. Things do need a little pruning every now and then, but don't get crazy.
Well, Gerald, have you been able to root any Daphnes? I don't have any luck with that.
It's a tough thing to do.
I have never tried, but I need...
I bet you could do it.
I need to get in touch. I got to give Landis a call. There was some talk that the Johnson County Nourishment Association was growing... out a Daphne that the Arboretum had come across, which was some old variety that seems to be less disease prone. Root rot's what gets them. Mm-hmm. And they were growing some
for top of the root rot.
Yeah, and I'm going to track him down because from when I talked to him and what they were growing, it ought to have some ready to sell now. And I'm going to follow up on that.
Yeah, you really ought to try that.
Because when you think winter Daphne and not as disease prone, that gets you, that really gets your attention.
That's mine this year. I took that a few days ago.
Wow.
And you see where it started over there on that side, up against the house in the pot, and the pot split, and the roots grew into the ground, and it grew around because it's a west over here.
And don't
try to get some sun. Yeah, no, I just...
That's a fabulous plant.
Yeah.
It is.
Yours is.
It's just unbelievable,
yeah.
And that they must really like that mahonia.
It's found a home and it's happy. Yeah. Don't do anything.
Yeah.
Don't cut back the mahonia. Don't do plant looks that good. Don't do anything different.
I know we're getting ready to have some major painting done, and I got to cut the
sit in the shotgun with a while they're painting.
I know I got to sit. I got to cut that mahonia back some. I think I probably have to do that drastically. And I hate to do that because it has been there. I think the mahonia is 30, well over 30 years old. And the Daphne's probably close to 20 years.
It's a tough plant.
Yeah. So, and they're, but it's on a slope. It's on a slope as a house.
Draining well.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we'll return for a few more minutes of the WPTF Weekend Gardener. It's 10:42. All right, 10:45. Now, when I leave, I'm heading home picking up Melissa, and we're going down to Yarborough's in Sanford and eat. And then we're going to antiquing a little bit. But in between, we're going to go by Big Bloomers for a little while. And so we got to – then we may go down to Pinehurst, Southern Pines. Make a day of it. I don't know.
Now I'm going back to the greenhouses.
Going back to work. Back to the salt mine.
Yeah.
Rufus, what are you going to do?
I'm going to go out there and do a little trimming on some things.
He's going to haul off and trim some.
Yeah. I've got my little sweet. I love that little hand chainsaw. Boy, I tell you what, a 6-inch blade, Gerald.
Yeah. Came from, that's a steel, and it came from J.E. Womble.
Yep.
Yeah. It's
They're marvelous.
I had one at the university. It's neat.
I got Melissa one.
Now the trouble is, my friend Palmer sometimes tries to cut a 10 diameter tree with it.
Yeah, you can't do that. You gotta
Palmer, that won't work.
It's not self oiling either. You gotta have the trimmer in one hand and the oil in the other.
A little squirt can carry in my back pocket. Yeah.
Mary Ann is with us. Hey, Mary Ann.
Morning. I called you about several years ago concerning the Daphne, where I put a brick, had a lower limb on my Daphne.
Oh, how did that work? Did it work?
Beautiful. It is beautiful. The mother plant is doing fantastic, but it is growing. I checked this a couple weeks ago, and it is just absolutely beautiful. And that Daphne is just growing. The fragrance is absolutely awesome. I can't get over it.
Well, that's something we were just talking about off the air, is trying to replicate the Daphne with cuttings and how hard that is. But a brick, Rufus, like we would do with a camellia or something.
Well, I took pots and put soil in them and bricks on top of that. And Mary Ann, mine didn't work. So next time I'm going to go directly on the ground.
That's what I did. Directly on the right beside the mother.
Yep.
And it worked beautifully. It's not really, I was shocked myself, but it's really beautiful.
Well, when are you going to take the chance on trying to cut the limb off to see if it's got a new one?
No.
Or are you just going to leave it?
Not yet. No.
Okay.
Yeah,
there you go.
They're just so temperamental.
Let it grow right in the spot.
Yes. That's right.
Yep.
It's okay. It'll fill up that lower level, so it looks beautiful there. But I have another question concerning Nandina. I'm going to be cutting. My Nandinas were absolutely gorgeous this year.
Yeah, mine too. Lots of berries.
They're getting too tall, and I need to cut them, trim them down. Now,
So don't flat cut them.
Yeah, Ann Clapp was very meticulous.
If you look
about that,
at it, it's got individual growths that are at different heights.
Yeah.
And just to take some of them out, but don't whack it all to make them like perfectly level, because then it'll look a little crazy when it grows back out and it won't have as nice a shape. So if you want to take the individual ones, each one down a foot, 6 inches,
kind of vary it.
Whatever, that's fine, but vary the length. You know, take the same amount off each one, because you're going to see they're not all the same height.
Yeah, but it's right where there's like a little growth. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. But if you look, you'll see that it's almost like, it's not individual stalks, but it looks like individual plants within the plants. There'll be a main stalk with limbs coming off of it, and it may be 12 inches higher than the one beside it and 18 inches higher than the one beside it. So they never grow out as pretty if you went and tried to make that whole plant the exact same.
Yeah, giving it a crew cut. Now, when should she trim this?
I think
now?
You could do it now. That's one of the toughest plants known to mankind.
It is indeed.
But you just kind of mess up the overall look when you flatten them up like that.
Yes, I hate to cut a duck because it's so pretty, but you know, with all those berries, of course, I have to take the berries off first.
Yep.
And Nandina plants on the ground.
Yeah, and cutting it back now, you won't mess up the berry production for this year.
Right. I appreciate your help, and I thoroughly enjoy your program. Keep it growing.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Marianne. Yeah, John Harris's.
Yeah.
Great saying, keep them growing.
You know, they tried to put out a scare on Nandinas about killing birds. And
it didn't look like anybody's messing with my berries.
I've not seen that. It's something, one species of birds. Well, obviously, I've never seen a bird croak over from Nandina, and they add wonder color.
I've seen them get drunk from eating pyracanthus
and
stuff.
Oh, yes. Totally fall off a limb.
Yeah.
And some of the smaller ones, Nandinas, that don't get so big that you can put anywhere, have the beautiful red
put those
and orange
out in full
color,
sun, man.
When the leaves turn in the fall, I mean,
right.
it's a tough plant.
Yeah, they're not made. You don't usually get berries with those, but you get that wonderful color if you plant them in enough sun.
And they're drought tolerant, disease tolerant, idiot tolerant. I mean, it's just a good.
That's right, and they're not like they're in the bamboo family, but they don't.
No.
They don't overtake you.
No, they won't go runners. They'll seed, but not runners like, oh God, bamboo, oh Lord.
I know that's there's some out on Lake Boone Trail that has been there. I know it was well established when I was at NC State, and I can't remember why I was there around Lake Boone Trail, but it was there when I was at State 50-some years ago. So, and it's still there. It's tough to get rid of, folks, so don't plant any Japanese, I guess, is it the Japanese, Chinese bamboo?
No.
Don't do that. But there are things in the bamboo family like Nandinas.
The house I grew up in, we rented a farm not far from ours some years, and it had a little grove of bamboo in the back corner of it, kind of right beside a little creek. Well, I dug up a clump and planted behind our house. Well, when we were 14, we built a new house farther down on the farm, and eventually my brother lived there and sold it. 15 years ago, that bamboo had covered a 3-acre pasture. The guy that bought the house pushed it down with a bulldozer and hauled it off, and it's now about a third of the way back.
Right. Oh, yeah. That just aggravated me.
I wanted to have some fishing poles close by and just walk out and cut me one. And that's what a clump that I could carry as a 10 or 12-year-old.
It's just cruel, just cruel, Gerald. Russell is got in time to ask his tomato question. Russell, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I tell you, y'all do a great job listening to you every Saturday.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
On Sundays, I listen to Big John's Beat Show. But
Big
anyway,
John! Big John Ruth.
And I put my tomato plants out and everything growing, and them boxing turtles are eating them, and I can't camp out there at night and stuff. What would you recommend to do?
Well, Gerald, we haven't had a boxing turtle question in ever.
I'll have to say, Russell, that's a first. I've had a lot of things get into the tomato plants, but I believe it's the first turtle
question. Are you
sure
it's not Big John out there getting those tomato plants?
Probably is, but he's a big fella. Well,
that's right.
I figured Rufus would know the answer to it because he pretty much knows everything.
Rufus, do you know anything about boxing turtles?
I know one thing. They will eat.
I would say you're going to have to put a barrier, you know, make a wire cage out of chicken wire.
That's right. I've never seen a
hardware wire like I cover up blueberries with to keep the birds from getting the blueberries, something like that, till the plant gets a little bigger, and then they probably can't mess with them when the plant gets on up. Is all this when the plants are pretty small, you know, 2 foot tall?
Yeah.
I think if you're going to have to do that until the plants get up some size.
All right, I can do that.
Russell, you could have you a boxing turtle race out there, sounds like to me.
And I'll have to do a little research. If you find what they do like to eat, you might could put it all next to the neighbor's yard over there and see if you can get them to move somewhere else.
That's right. Maybe they like bamboo.
I like
like the way y'all think.
But the top of my head, I don't know what they like to eat besides tomato plants, obviously.
Yeah.
All right.
How about that? I never heard that, Russell. That's a good one.
Yeah. Well, if what happens, and I figured you boys know the answer.
Well, find you some.
I'm going to do that. Yeah. I'm going to do what he said.
War.
All right.
Chicken war.
Chicken war.
Chicken war.
Yeah. Take all it right. easy, Russell.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank y'all.
Keep both hands on the wheel now.
I got them.
Bye. All right. That was Russell and his box turtle, the Boxer Rebellion. Box turtle. Rebellion.
Notice I did not say kill the turtles.
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
No, that's
the
turtles. We
don't do that.
We love turtles.
Yes.
Yeah. So, they just, I don't know. I never heard of that. That's interesting. Stan is with us. Stan, how are you, and what can we do for you, sir?
Hey, my question about forsythia and hydrangeas. Does forsythia spread, or is there a variety that spreads?
Yeah, it spreads.
Yep.
It sure does spread.
It's not what I would call aggressive, but basically the clump gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
I mean, over a long, a long period of years.
Yeah, not something just unruly where you can't control.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a sloop. I was trying to get something to cover it.
You know, the state does that. I've seen on the overpasses on that ground that they have near the overpasses that, it's a big fall off there.
If you're going to do it on a slope, read up on the specific cultivar and don't plant them too far apart. Because I think some of the ones like what the state uses that do spread like that, you want to make sure you don't get them too far apart where the roots don't run together, and then you may have a washing issue.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Hydrangeas, what would be a good variety for full sun?
Limelight is certainly any... and they're PG hydrangeas.
Any of the oak leaf hydrangeas, and there's some now that don't get as big, and... most of the paniculata or panicle-shaped blooms.
Try Ruby Slipper.
Yeah.
I believe that's the name of it.
I mean, they just go to a good local garden center, Stan, and they'll tell you all about it. You need to look at them and see what, or look at some photos, find what you want.
Yeah. Okay, all right, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Stan. We're slam out of time. Gerald, thank you very much. We'll see you in June, I guess.
Coming to the market. I'll be there starting
you'll be
Friday.
There. We'll see you. We'll see you at the market. We'll be there in a couple weeks. Joel, thank you very much. Thanks to all of our listeners. Brother Rufus, we'll see you next week at North Raleigh Boulevard, location of Habitat Restore.
Great.
God love you. We'll see you next week.